Let's look at some scripture in Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. It says here in verse 1 of Matthew 11, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John the Baptist, had heard in the prison," he was down there in prison, "the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto Jesus, Art thou he that should come? Art thou the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another?" That's my subject tonight. Is he the Christ? Is Jesus of Nazareth the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Turn to John chapter 4. Here was a woman. That was the inquiry of a prophet, said to be the last of the Old Testament prophets. This is a commoner, an ordinary woman of the streets. In John chapter 4, verse 24, our Lord said to this woman, "God is spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah coming." I know the Messiah is coming, the Christ. She knew it, and all of these Jews knew it. That's what the Old Testament's all about. The Messiah's coming. Someone's coming. It is said that the Old Testament, the message of the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, is someone's coming. Someone's coming. And the message of the evangelist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is he has come. And the message of the epistles is he's coming back. And she said, "I know Messiah's coming, which is called the Christ. And when he's come, he'll tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am the Messiah." Now, if you start with Genesis 3:15, don't turn to it because you're so familiar with it. If you start with Genesis 3:15, you have the first spoken promise of the Messiah. God said, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and thy seed. And thou shalt bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head." The woman's seed, the Messiah, seed of woman. But I do want you to turn to Genesis 49. Now this is important. And Jacob was blessing his sons. Jacob was blessing the 12 sons, the 12 tribes. And he said in Genesis chapter 49, talking about Judah, and he said, Judah, talking to the son Judah, he said, "Judah," Genesis 49:8, "thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp and from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, the Messiah. Until Shiloh comes, now listen, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter, the right to reign, shall not depart from the tribe of Judah till the Messiah comes, as a rod out of Jesse, as a son of David, and from the tribe of Judah, the king priest, Messiah. And Deuteronomy 18, turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is the message of the Old Testament prophets, of whom it was said, to him give all the prophets witness, to the Messiah. To the Messiah give all the prophets witness. Now here in Deuteronomy 18, I want you to look at it. Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. He said, now the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. That's the Messiah. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let us not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. When they received the commandments, they backed off from that mountain. They said, we don't want to see this again. Moses, you talk to God. Don't let God talk to us, lest we die. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Like Martin Luther said, you don't want anything to do with an absolute God. You don't want any dealings with God out of Christ, apart from the mediator. You don't want any dealings with God. And he said, you've well spoken. Because, verse 18, I'll raise them up a prophet from among the brethren, like unto thee, Moses. I put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, which that prophet shall speak in my name, I'll require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet will die. Now listen, and if you say in your heart, well, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How are we going to know? He said, I'll tell you. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, or professes to, if what he says doesn't come to pass, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Everything our Lord said came to pass. Everything the Messiah said came to pass. Now, he said, if it doesn't come to pass, don't worry about it. But I'm going to raise up this king priest, this prophet, prophet, priest, and king. Now, one other, Isaiah 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Another thing about this Messiah, seed of woman, prophet, king, priest, Shiloh, prophet of God, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. You want to know who he is, who the Christ is? He's give you a sign that no one can duplicate. Behold, a virgin, seed of woman, shall conceive and bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. God in human flesh. Now, the Messiah is described in the Psalms and in the prophets in many ways. He's called the anointed of the Lord. He's called wonderful, wonderful counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's called that rod out of the stem of Jesse. He's called the Son of David. He's called God's servant, whom he upholds. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He's called a tender branch. He's called a root out of a dry ground. He's called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's called the Lord our righteousness. He's called the branch. He's called the messenger of the covenant. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Turn over there a moment. In Malachi chapter 3. Now listen to this. And this is, and I've gone from Genesis 3 to Malachi 3. From Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. In a brief time to show you that it's all given to declaring the one who shall come. In Malachi 3, behold, I'll send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Has he come? Is this Jesus of Nazareth the messenger? Or the one Lord who came to his temple? Listen, even the messenger of the covenant, that everlasting covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come. He shall suddenly come to his temple, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, over here in John 6, these disciples whom our Lord chose, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. In John chapter 6, it says in verse 66, and our Lord had preached to these people concerning the bread of life to the believer. I am the bread from heaven. And he told them about his sovereignty and his exaltation above all exaltation. And he said, if this offends you, well, you see the Son of God ascend up where he was. And verse 66 says, and from that time, many, and I would say most, of these disciples, followers, these are not the 12, but they went back and walked no more with him. They wanted nothing else to do with this man Jesus. They left him. And then he said to the 12, evidently they were the only ones left, standing there. And he said to the 12, would you also go away? And Peter, Simon Peter, speaking for the disciples, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? That's a good question, isn't it? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now listen, and we believe, and we're sure that you're the Christ. That's what we believe. That's the reason we're hanging around. That's the reason we're looking to you. That's the reason we're staying with you. Because we believe and we're sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to point out several significant prophecies concerning the Messiah that were fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth so decidedly, so positively, so certainly. He is the Messiah. He has to be. And the first one is that one I gave to you a while ago. I'm going to give you eight of them. You know, when a preacher tells you you're going to have 8 points, sometimes folks say, oh, my. He had 4 this morning. Was here an hour. But now these will be 8 brief points. I want you to write these down. I want you to remember these. This is significant. The time when Christ came, when Jesus of Nazareth came, the time when he came, is very significant. You see, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. But you remember in Genesis, I read to you a while ago, that Jacob gathered his sons together. And he was blessing them. And we know this, the Messiah had not come up till the time of Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist said, are you he that should come? The woman at the well said, we know he's coming. So he hadn't come up to that time. And what I'm saying is, he couldn't come after that time. It had to be Christ. For this reason, Jacob gathered his sons together and blessed them. And he said, Judah, you're a lion's whelp, you're an old lion. The scepter will not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes, the tribe of Judah. When Jesus of Nazareth came, he was born, I'll show you in a moment, to the tribe of Judah. He came through David's line, tribe of Judah. After he came, the tribes were dispersed. After Calvary, after Christ died, when the Romans dispersed the Jews and burned the city of Jerusalem and plowed it under and sent them going, there is no more Judah or Simeon or Dan or Reuben or any of the rest of them. He can't come now, John. There's no Judah. He couldn't have come 1,500 years ago. There was no Judah. He couldn't have come 1,800 years ago. He came when he came to Judah. I'll tell you something else. Let me take you to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai. I'm talking about the time he came. The book of Haggai, chapter 2. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is a message from God to the builders of the temple. The builders of the second temple. The rebuilding of the temple. This is the message of God to those rebuilding the temple. In Haggai 2. Now, let's look at it. In Haggai 2, verse 1, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who's left among you that saw this house in her first glory when Solomon built it? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? You compare this temple with one Solomon built and the glory of it? Nothing. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work now, I'm with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while. Yet once it is a little while. And I'll shake the heavens, I'll shake the earth, I'll shake the sea, I'll shake the dry land, I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. He came to his temple. He came to his temple. That old temple that they were building saw Jesus Christ the Messiah walk in. Not a priest coming with the blood of others to slip behind the veil and sacrifice it, but the Son of God, the desire of all nations. Read on. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place shall I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. He's coming. And he came. He drove them out with a whip, and he said, my house will be called the house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. But he was there. He was there. What happened just a few years after he died on that cross? They burned that temple down. That's right. That's right. This clearly says, Brother Ron, that he's coming to the temple. He's coming to his house, and the latter glory of that house will be greater than the first one that Solomon built. And after Jesus of Nazareth walked out of it, died on that cross, buried and rose again, Titus came in and wiped her out. There is no temple. All right, if he's not the Messiah, you needn't look for one. That's right. The temple, John, is no more. And you needn't talk about them rebuilding it either. That's a waste of time. Not going to be done. So he is the Messiah according to the time he came. After that, there was no Judah. and no temple. All right, secondly, the place where the Messiah would be born. Turn to Micah. Back here, a couple or three pages back from Haggai, where you were. Where is the Messiah going to be born? Well, in Micah chapter 5, it says, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, a little town, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel," the Messiah. What's Micah saying here? Now, this is back 500-600 years before Christ came. Micah says the Messiah that we've been talking about through the whole Old Testament is going to come to Bethlehem. Now watch here. "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, God himself." He's coming to Bethlehem. The Messiah is coming to Bethlehem. That's where he's going to make his appearance. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 2. And we're talking here about the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. And Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together." He got together the Bible scholars, the Old Testament scholars. "And he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Now, Herod gathered these fellows, the Pharisees and chief priests, and all them fellows that spent their time studying the Old Testament scriptures. He gathered them together. He said, "Where's this Christ, this Messiah, going to be born? Where's he going to be born?" And they said to him, "He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets." The Messiah, listen to me, my friends, has got to be born in Bethlehem. He can't come riding in here on a white stallion. He can't come rise up from any other nation. He's got to be born of the Jews, of the tribe of Judah. Got to be born in Bethlehem. That's where he's got to be born. And that's where he was born. That's what's written in the prophets. All right, thirdly, is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Well, the house or family from which the Messiah must descend. He must come. What does Scripture say? He's got to come from the rod of Jesse. He's got to come from the tribe of Judah. He's got to come from the loins of David. Got to be of the house of David. That's what it says. In other words, over here in Matthew 22, turn over there just a moment. You know, these fellows came to our Lord one day and had all these questions to ask him, to entangle him in his talk. You know the question. Finally, he said to them in Matthew 22, verse 41, "Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, when they were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, Now what think ye of Christ?" He not asking them what they think of him. They didn't believe he was the Christ. He's saying, "What do you think of the Messiah? What do you think of the Christ? Tell me. This Christ that you're preaching about and looking for, tell me about him." They said, "He's the son of David. He's the son of David." And he said to them, "Now how doth David in spirit then call him Lord? How can he be David's Lord and David's son?" Verse 45, "If David call him Lord, how is he David's son?" Well, you know that, and I do too. You know that, you know the gospel. Who Christ is. You got to start on it. He's David's Lord in that unto us a son is given. He's David's son in that unto us a child is born. He's David's son in that he was born of a woman who traces her house and lineage right back to David. In other words, Mary's son is of the rod of Jesse, tribe of Judah, seed of David. and the rightful heir to the throne is Mary's son. Let me show you that. Now turn with me to back here to Matthew 1. He's David's son, unto us a child is born. He's David's son in that he was born of a woman who traces her house and lineage right back to David. In other words, Mary's son is of the rod of Jesse, tribe of Judah, seed of David. And the rightful heir to the throne is Mary's son. Let me show you that. Now turn with me to back here to Matthew 1, just a moment. Both, now listen, the Messiah has got to be of the tribe of Judah. The Messiah has got to be of the house of David. And Matthew 1, verse 1, I'm not going to read this entire genealogy, but I want to start it off and show you this. Genesis of Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It goes on. Abraham begat Isaac. You come on down here to verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And it comes on down to verse 15. And Eliad begat Eleazar. And Eleazar begat Mathan. And Mathan begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who's called the Christ. This is Joseph's genealogy. Joseph goes right back to David through Solomon. Joseph goes right back to his foster father, goes right back to David through Solomon. That's right above that, this is Joseph's house and lineage right here, from Joseph to David by way of Solomon. Now, let's check Mary. Luke chapter 3. Let's check Mary's genealogy. It's all right here in the scripture. Let's check Mary's genealogy. And what we're doing, I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm trying to show us, for comfort and assurance, that Jesus is the Christ, son of Mary. Now, in the Bible, they never give a woman's genealogy. Always the man's. They don't give it in her name. They give her genealogy, but not in her name. So here we've got, down here in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, who was the son of Heli. Joseph wasn't the son of Heli. He was the son of Jacob. How was he the son of Heli? He's the son-in-law of Heli. That's Mary's father. So it doesn't say this is Mary's genealogy. It is Mary's genealogy, but not in her name. It says, and Joseph was the son of Heli. He's the son-in-law of Heli. This is Mary's genealogy. And it goes on back, says Heli was the son of Mathat of Levi. See, it's already different. And then it goes on down here to verse 31, and it gives the different sons. And down here at the latter part of verse 31, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Oh, Mary, here's David. And of course, David was the son of Jesse. It picks it up the same there. Here David came from Abraham. David had a son, Nathan. David had a son, Solomon. Joseph came through Solomon. Mary came through Nathan. They both traced their house back to David. Now right there on Luke 3, this is Mary's genealogy. And it's traced in the name of her husband, who was the son-in-law of Heli. That's big. Like if we were going to trace Becky's genealogy, we'd say, give yours. It'd go through you. And it'd make you my son. And I'd be proud of that. But, you know, but this, you're my son in that you're her. That's what that is. See that? So Jesus Christ came right back, right from David, both through Mary and Joseph. All right, here's the fourth thing. Turn with me to to Isaiah 35. The miracles which the Messiah was to perform. Over here in the Old Testament, you know, while you're looking up Isaiah 35, let me read something to you. While you're looking up Isaiah 35, when you find it, look up here a moment. You know, when John the Baptist sent those fellows to Jesus of Nazareth and said, "Are you the Messiah, or do we look for another?" How'd he answer? Jesus answered and said, "You go and tell John the things which you hear and see, that the blind receive their sight." Really, not make-believe, they receive their sight. "The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel to preach to them, and blessed is he whosoever will not be offended in me." You go tell John, the blind see and the deaf hear. Isaiah 35. What's it say about the Messiah, verse 4? Verse 3 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees, and say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He'll come and save you, and then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall be a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass and reed and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be open, and it'll be called the way of holiness." That's the Messiah. When he comes, the blind will see. A lot of people profess to do a lot of miracles, but one person said over here concerning Jesus of Nazareth, when he made that blind man see, he said this, "Has it ever been heard that the blind were made to see?" Never. Only Christ can give the blind eyes. He's the Messiah. Even his enemies had to acknowledge that. Old Nicodemus said, "We know you're from God. You could never do what you do. It's God be with you." All right, fifthly, the Messiah as a king will be distinguished by his lowliness. Now, this is why so many of them missed him. They could think of a lion, but not a lamb. They could think of a kingdom, but not a suffering Savior. They could think of a victorious leader, but not a lowly, humble man of sorrows. It wouldn't fit. There's so many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning his coming as a lamb and his second coming that they just couldn't distinguish between them. Someone told me one time, you stand off at a far distance and see mountain ranges, and there's one mountain range and another, and they just look like the same range, but they may be many miles apart. And here these Old Testament scholars and students, they studied the Old Testament, told about his coming, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, we hid as it were our faces from him, wounded for our transgressions, all these things. And then they read about him coming in victory and destroying his enemies and restoring the kingdom and all of these things. They couldn't see the difference. Couldn't see the distance between them. And here in Matthew, or rather in, let's turn his lowliness, turn to Zechariah. That's where I want you to turn. Zechariah chapter 9. Listen to this. Zechariah chapter 9. It says here, Zechariah chapter 9, and these fellas read this. You know, Paul says they fulfilled the scriptures in condemning him. They read the scriptures and studied them. And the very things it said that they would do to the Messiah, they did it. Because they didn't recognize him. If they had known who he was, they'd never crucified him. But look at Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king cometh unto you. He's just and having salvation. Oh, boy, that's great. Wait a minute now. Wait, hold on. He's lowly,
riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Not our king. Not our king.
Yeah.
Lowly. Humble.
Turn to Matthew 21. That day came. That day came when Jesus of Nazareth rode into Jerusalem on an ass. Matthew 21. The fulfillment of that very scripture. And when, Matthew 21, verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, you go to the village over against you, and straightway you'll find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them. Bring them to me. If anybody asks you, say aught unto you, you just say the Lord hath need of them, and he'll send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled what's spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, lowly, sitting on an ass, the colt, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes. They took their outer garment off and laid it over that old dirty jackass donkey, and they set Jesus Christ on that donkey. Have you lately seen a donkey? I was down on a farm. Down on a farm just last week. And this man had horses. He had Tennessee Walkers. Beautiful. That's what I'd like to ride. He had some of those Belgian horses like the Clydesdale, just one step below him, not that much shorter. Mammoth, massive, huge, beautiful horses with flowing manes and tails and feet about 12 inches in diameter, you know, beautiful things. He said, won't you see my jackass? And we went down the barn, and there was the ugliest old gray, good gracious. And the man started taunting him. He started braying. I'm not going to bray like one of them now. But honestly, that thing compared to those Belgian walkers, my Lord rode into Jerusalem, the Messiah, on a jackass, without a saddle. His condescension is amazing, isn't it? Look at verse 8. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And multitudes went before and that followed, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, Galilee. Looks like somebody stood and said, hey, wait a minute, hold it, hold it. Everybody hold it. This is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. That's not going to happen again. Just happened this one time. Number 6, the Messiah's got to die at the hands of wicked men. Psalm 22, turn over there a minute. I'm taking a little long, but I want you to see this. This is so vital. Is he the Messiah? If he is, God said, the man that hears him will be blessed. The man that doesn't hear him is going to be damned. So it's a good idea if we just stay with it a minute more. Psalm 22, listen. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? This is the Messiah now. David writing a messianic psalm. Verse 16. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. Nailed him to a tree. Verse 18. They part my garments among them, cast lots for my robe at the foot of the cross. Verse 7 and 8, Psalm 22, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips. They shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now, seeing he delighteth in him. What did they say at the cross? He trusted in God. Let's see if God will have him. If you be the Christ, come down from the tree. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's what the Messiah came to do. By his stripes we're healed. By staying on that cross, he proved he was a Messiah, not by coming down. If he had been able to come down, he would have proved he wasn't a Messiah. Let me show you one other scripture on this cross. Turn to Zechariah again. Zechariah chapter 11. You know, old Judas, when he betrayed, sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He asked the priest, what would they give him? They told him 30 pieces of silver, and then he betrayed the Lord. He came back later, and he said, I betrayed innocent blood, and he threw the money on the floor in the temple, right there in that temple, threw the money on the floor. He said, I betrayed innocent blood, and they said, well, what's that to us? And he went out and hanged himself. And they took that money and bought a potter's field to bury the poor, and that's where they put his remains. Listen to Zechariah. These priests didn't recognize that. Zechariah 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think me good, give me my price. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. Seems like one of those scholars would have remembered that when Judas cast that money and went out. Hey, I remember something Zechariah wrote. Isn't this? Oh, let me tell you, when men's eyes are blind, they are blind. When men are blind, if the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If all the light you've got, it's darkness. It's a terrible darkness. Well, Psalm 16, the Messiah is going to rise from the dead. This is number 7. The Messiah is going to rise from the dead. Now, my friends, there have been a whole lot of professed Messiahs and so-called here Christ and there Christ, here a Muhammad, here a Confucius, here a Buddha, here's another. But every one of them got a tomb. You can visit the grave of every so-called religious leader, prophet, or Messiah. Every one of them without exception. Jesus Christ has no grave for you to visit. No tomb. No, he hadn't. He just resided there a short time. Listen to Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 16. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will not remain in the grave, and his body will not see corruption. And that's what Peter said at Pentecost. He said David wrote these words. But David's not talking about David, because David's sepulchre is with us to this day. But David is talking about his son, Jesus of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead and made both Lord and Christ. He's the Messiah. Number 8. The Messiah came to his own, the Jews. He fulfilled every prophecy given concerning Israel. He fulfilled every type, every Old Testament picture. But the scriptures plainly declare that the Messiah would have a people of all nations. One more scripture. I know you're weary, but turn to Isaiah 49, just one more scripture. Isaiah 49, the Messiah will have a people of all nations. He can't be what most of those Jews thought he would be. Only a Jewish king. It says in Isaiah 49, verse 5, listen. Thou saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. He said, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it's a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. This is Isaiah, long before Christ came. Gentiles. The Jews wouldn't even let them in the temple, let alone in the kingdom. They had the court of the Gentiles out there. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I'll preserve thee and give thee for covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show thyself. Yourself, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all the high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall their heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I'll make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Shinim. Peter said to our Lord, when the Lord asked him if he'd go away, he said, no, I don't intend to leave, because I believe that thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. I believe Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ. Do you? It's not, and this is not someone not using, trying to use psychology and mass psychology and power of persuasion, these things. I'm not asking you to raise your hand or do anything. I'm just saying now, in your heart of hearts, in your the depths of your soul, in the bowels of your being, are you convinced, is the Spirit of God convinced you on the authority of this word, God's word, that we don't look for another, that the Christ has come? He is the Christ, and he has fulfilled all that God required, and he did it for us. He did it, and thank God, not just for those Jews, but for all nations, tribe, kindred, people, and nation unto him. And that constitutes saving faith, doesn't it? As I understand, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that salvation? That's what Philip said to the eunuch. He said, I want to be baptized. He said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip baptized him. I'm not looking for some kind of emotional feeling and all the lights to start flickering and my fingernails, as one woman told me, turn green and all this sort of thing, you know. I'm persuaded of the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, Messiah Christ. Are you? And he's my Lord. He's my King. He's my prophet. He's my priest. He's my all in all. He's my mediator. That's it. And I confess that before God. I confess it before me. He's my hope of eternal glory. He's at the right hand of God. I believe that. Don't intend to stop believing it by his grace. That's it. Isn't that it, Scott? That's just it.
All right, Mike, let's sing a song.